Welcome to another episode of How to Sell Your Coaching with your host, the Coach's Coach, Wayne Sutton. We invite you to listen, enjoy, and implement these proven methods in your business today.
Hey guys, thanks for jumping on board with us for another episode. I have one of my mentors, and truly, Tom, one person I respect in this business, and can say that with absolute sincerity. If you thought about how to reach people, how to talk to people, how to serve people, how to build a big team, then Tom Big Al Schrider is absolutely the go-to person. And Tom, I have followed you now for over 20 years, and I say every time, it's not the same material you bring. You're always bringing updates. You're always bringing more information, and you're serving an industry that needs to be served, and I think that's very important. So thank you for jumping on board with me, and I'm glad to have you on board with our team here.
All right. Well, let's do it. Let's learn something cool today.
Something cool today. Well, I think what we were going to talk about was your storytelling workshop. And what caught my attention with that, Tom, is almost every evening I have two of my four daughters. I put them to sleep and I hear, "Daddy, tell me a story. Daddy, tell me a story. Daddy, tell me a story." And I know in business, everything's related to storytelling. So let's get the man who does it best on, and let's find out some tips and tricks and secrets, and please tell us about your workshop as well.
Well, the storytelling is a natural thing in humans. We kind of feel, yeah, it's natural, but why is it? And if you could think about cavemen back in the day, they would go out hunting and in the evenings and hang around the campfire and tell stories. And when they told stories, what they did was inform people about predictive behavior. They say, if you meet this giant lizard out there, don't play with them, they will eat you, something like that. And the cavemen learned, all right, got it. So if somebody tells a story, I can kind of experience it in my mind so I don't have to get eaten to understand this. So it's kind of a survival thing. And survival is our number one program. So when somebody tells a story, instantly, everything else shuts down and we just focus on the story. And that's kind of cool. So if you want to get somebody's attention, tell them a story. Our story is easy to remember. We can remember stories from, what, age five? And we can't remember a history fact 30 minutes later. No, so stories are more powerful that way. Look at it this way. You're at work. You're walking down the aisle. Three people are telling a story. What does our minds command us to do? Stop and listen. And we have to listen to the story all the way to the end to see how the story ends. You say, wow. And like you say, your children. Children, 2 years old, as soon as they can put a sentence together, it's mommy, daddy, tell me a story.
Yeah.
So stories are like crack cocaine to the human mind. It's the coolest way, and it's a way we learn. And if you consider this, when somebody tries to teach us something we don't know, we can't get our head around it unless we make an analogy in our mind, kind of compare it to something we already know, and then we kind of construct it into a story. Stories are everywhere, and we tell them naturally, and some people tell stories better than others. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So we've all seen a sermon or something where put us to sleep, and another one was remembered afterwards. So if we can construct a story, they say a picture's worth 1,000 words, the story's probably worth, thousands and thousands of pictures, who knows? We remember it. So people say, well, what's a good story to tell? Does it have to be long? I said, no. Let's say that you wanted somebody to take your advice. Maybe you're a coach, or maybe you're a sponsor in network marketing. And the person says, let me do it my way. And you say, well, no, I got this experience and stuff. And they just don't get it. So we could probably tell them a story that would have more effect. And the story would be, imagine we're in front of a minefield. And we have to cross the minefield. do you want to do it your way? Or would you want to follow in the footsteps of somebody who carefully crossed that minefield many times before? Okay. And how long did that take? 15 seconds? And that's better than a 5-page sales letter. Or you say, well, I can go on the internet and I'll just surf the internet and read that in my free time and I'll learn how to do it. I said, okay, got it. So what else could we use? Let's use this one. We say, all right, I'm going to coach somebody and you're going to coach somebody. And we're going to teach them to go into a big MMA fight. And you're going to give one person a book on martial arts and they get to watch videos on the internet. And the other person, I'm going to go and every day we're going to do 1 hour of coaching and practice. What do you think of the outcome? And they say, I think I got it.
Right.
And just like I say, in 15 seconds, we get our point across. We're done. We don't have to do anything else.
Hmm.
So just having a series of good trained stories that kind of get to the point, that's all we really need to be better than almost any salesman on earth.
That's awesome. That's good. So how do you start a story, Tom? Do you say once upon a time?
Well, that would,
it works great for kids, but
exactly. And that's a great one because it signals to the kids, disengage your mind. Just sit back and enjoy and let me create pictures in your mind. And they're going to suspend all judgment. They're not going to say, that's not logical. I'm not sure about that. And they just enjoy the story. So, yeah, you can induce a story and the story thoughts in people's minds. So let's do a couple of mechanical things here. You might say something like, before I show you how this works, let me tell you what happened to me. I like that one. It's a level 2 close. And what we're doing is closing people before we actually tell them what it is. And this particular intro is used for skeptical people like our evil used car salesman, cigar smoking pal mouth uncle, All right, Sonny. All right, Pyramid Boy, tell me what's the deal? What kind of con you getting me this time, And you say, Uncle, but before I show you how this works, let me tell you what happened to me. And in that moment, here's what's cool. We crushed it. He's completely forgot about all his acid thoughts, and he's listening to the story. Hey, how cool was that? And we're sticking the story inside of his mind. He'll make a decision right away, and it's all over. He had no chance. Absolutely no chance. So what it does is when you say that particular sequence of words, before I show you how this works, that tells them, the sales presentation ain't going to be until later. So turn off the sales alarm, the too good to be true filter, the what's the catch, guard my wallet, and all that goes away. And now we say, then let me tell you what happened to me, which signals the story. Our story slips through like a grease ninja at midnight past all that garbage. He has absolutely no chance. You got to bite your tongue so you don't laugh. But let's just use, we were talking earlier about health.
Yeah.
You could say, before I show you, say, all right, so is this some sort of stupid vitamin or something? I'm going to have to pay money out of my pocket or something. You say, well, uncle, before I show you how this works, let me tell you what happened to me. I was at this lecture the other day, and the guy said, one of the first symptoms of heart disease is instant death. And I got thinking, whoa, that's a pretty serious symptom. Maybe I should do something instead of, roll the dice on this one. And that's why I'm taking this particular product. But anyway, let me tell you how this product works, Uncle. And the sale's already made. Just before you even mention what it was, it's easy to just get rid of it. Here's another one. When we can relate with people, people say, okay, I kind of trust you. I can believe what you say. I don't have to be negative on everything you say. So a good way to start a story is with this sequence. When I was young. Now, you say, when I was young, you're going to tell a story what happened when you're young. Nobody has a reason to disbelieve it, so all that skepticism and stuff goes away. And they were young, too, at one time. So you get this automatic relationship, and it's just so easy to talk to people that way. So those are two good ones to start with. When I was young, tell them a story that has a good ending, and for all those negative jerks, before I show you how this works, let me tell you what happened to me. So those are my two favorites.
So, Tom, I had a lady that was training me years ago at a corporate event, and it was just one of those people I just didn't really connect with. And the more time I spent with her, the less I connected with her. And to the point, I even grabbed my keys a few times and thought, I'll just politely remove myself. And then she said, when I was young, my father bought me a gift and I put the keys down and I listened to her. Yeah, I had to know what was the gift. And she told this sad story and I felt empathy towards her. And the whole paradigm changed. So she caught my attention and she showed me she was a real person through that story. And that's one of many I think of, but that's just one that stood out. So, yeah. So taking me from a negative emotion to a positive emotion, just because she said when I was young, my father bought me a gift. Well, what's the gift? I was curious. So that's awesome. And what if you're not a good storyteller, though? I practice a lot. I make up stories. I make up characters. But I know a lot of people are not. And I know I could improve. So what's a great way to tell better stories? And I know you have resources, but if I wanted to start tonight, what's a good way to start becoming a better storyteller?
You only need one really good story. So, you know, you don't have to be like this really great storyteller, you know, at the Storyteller Festival in North Carolina or something. You only need one good story to for your career. So don't panic over it. But what makes stories a story is there's some key elements, and I've seen some stories violate them and still do well, but the kind of key elements you want is you have to have a hero or heroine. I call it a protagonist because that sounds cool in English, I presume, but the bottom line is you got to have somebody you care about, because if it's a story about somebody you don't care about, you're not going to get very engaged. So yeah, it has to be somebody. It could be me or you, either one. That's probably a good start. And then you have to say something bad has to happen to them. And you say, really? How about a good story? Nah, people don't like good stories. You don't see them in the newspaper. Mother loves daughter at the end. Yeah, it doesn't make headlines. We are wired for bad stories. And you think about this. You watch two young girls playing, 4 years old or 3 years old or 5 years old, and they're pretending they're playing house, and somebody will be the baby, and then the baby's lost or the baby has a problem. All of their stories, if you watch them, they will insert a problem.
Oh yeah,
because the story is about overcoming and learning how to handle a problem. I don't know if it's genetic or it's hormone built in. It's just there's always a problem. So in a movie, in the beginning, it shows somebody having a nice, wonderful life, so you kind of care about them. And then something bad happens to them. And then they spend about 89 minutes trying to fix it. And then there's a minute of happy ever after. You know, they win at the end. You see, that's pretty good. What else makes a good story? Well, having a good villain, you know, the bad guy. And the bigger the bad guy, the better the story. So if you follow competition. Yeah. So you have to have a really, really, really bad guy, and it makes a really, really, really good story. And the bad guy is sort of nice or whatever. It's kind of boring. What's the bad guy? Well, if you're selling health products, the bad guy might be heart disease. If you're selling coaching, the bad guy might be an empty diary and no appointments. And if you are selling roofing, the bad guy is the water leaking in, ruining all your furniture and your family pictures. And, you know, having a bad guy that you're all against kind of unites people. And it's a common parenting trick when the two children are fighting that the parent gets mad at both of them. So the two children bond together. It's us against who's ever mad at us. So they become friends temporarily. It's a common hack for parenting. And all I could say is you're going to just start noticing stories. I wrote a book on stories many, many years ago. It says, you know, stories for network marketing, where you can just tell little micro stories. And I tell people, just pick one that is you. And you can use that and say that instead of, you know, that you show them flip charts and all this other stuff. That's just really boring. There is no stories in compensation plan explanations. No stories. Yeah. 5% PVBV. No. You got to say, this person ripped open the envelope. And inside was a special bonus check. And now people are involved. That's what sells.
Yeah. I still remember your Big Al Live in London cassette tapes. So we're going to go back from CD, MP3, cassette tape, CDs, cassette tapes. I don't remember all the stories you told on there, Tom, but I remember the stories. I don't remember all the details, all the strategies, but I remember your stories. And that was almost 20 years ago. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Network marketing. There's a lot of stories out there, a lot of good ones, but there's a lot of this negative story people already have in their mind. Oh, that's a pyramid scheme. Oh, you can fill up your garage full of stuff, or you're going to bother me every time we have Thanksgiving dinner. They have these stories already. Can we replace those stories?
Yeah. But when we notice them, you say, you know, stories are pretty powerful. Yeah. You know, it's hard to get rid of them. You say, man, stories are really good. Yeah, you can replace them. It's going to take quite a bit of better skill to do that. The basic technique on replacing the story is, first of all, you have to agree that the story that they have in their mind is totally true. And it is to them. I mean, it happened to them. Yeah, they had a sleazy salesman come by and made them feel bad and ripped them off and was mean to their children and ran over their dog when they left. And, you know, that actually happened to them. So that's a true story. In order to change any person's mind, first of all, you have to agree with what's in their mind right now is true, because if you don't, you're pretty much dead. And this is called the rapport step when you talk to people. Is you have to honor where they're coming from, because what's in their mind is reality. It happened to them. And once you say, yeah, that's reality, they say, okay, you and I think the same. We're on the same page. I don't have to question everything you say. Obviously, you're a genius just like me. So, and then you can maybe start putting in another story that they will remember. But yeah, stories are really powerful. And people create stories, don't they? Yes. I mean, you see it when you talk to people, they create stories. I say, well, I'm such a loser. I can't get any customers. Everybody hates me. And people create stories on their mind out of nowhere. Well, I shouldn't say out of nowhere. They had an experience. Experience creates beliefs, and then their mind takes over and it enhances it even more, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling belief. And yeah, it just kind of goes downhill. But yes, stories are the number one way of communicating with people. I love them.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Tell us, if you would, Tom, I know you're doing a workshop I'm excited about, and I've definitely signed up for. And I think it's a multi-part workshop. It's not just a 30-minute take notes really quick, but you're actually teaching us on storytelling. You mind sharing a little bit about that? And I think it's soon, here in the next few days.
Yeah. Starts Wednesday. So Keith and I teach, Keith, my son, we write all the Big Al books, and we teach a master class. It's 3 weeks. It's on a Wednesday night, 3 weeks in a row for an hour. And it's an extra class where, you know, people ask questions, we get homework and stuff like that. And this class happens to be on power stories. And we tell people, you know, for three evenings out of your life, you can learn how to, you know, create your own story. Instead of just hoping you read somebody's story or a story pops into your mind, you know, learn how to create your own. So you have a signature story that's perfect for your business, what you want to do, the idea you want to get across in people. And I think it's $39. We tell people long-term financing. And we say, you know, go for it. And if it's your time to learn how to tell a story, there it is. But what I like about stories is we can take the most incompetent person, such as me when I started, and you could learn one story and it will overcome all the disastrous things I did when I first got started. And I mean, I was the worst. I, you know, there wasn't PowerPoint back then, but we had actual slides, you know, and rock tablets. But, yeah, I gave all these fact-filled presentations that didn't move people when I had no idea how stories trigger the mind and how stories deliver the message and how stories bypass all these sales filters. I was still dealing at a very, very low logical level, and I did not realize how the actual decision is triggered in the mind, which is a subject for a whole nother time. You and I will talk about closing on one of these calls in the future. Excellent. How's that?
Love it. Yeah. Love
it. But I tell people, stories rock. Get a good one, and if one little story earns you an extra, do something where maybe you end up earning $100,000.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good pay down on your mortgage.
Well, Tom, the big thing I just got from you this evening, and I hope everybody really grabs that too, is you don't have to tell, you don't have to have 1,000 stories. One good story. One good story, and for our network marketers, one good story about your product, or one good story about the bonus checks that happened to, you know, get another paycheck without having to get a job. That's a great little story. So I'm looking forward to that class. I really am. Absolutely.
And if you're a network marketer, here's a good story just to make you feel good. How's this? Well, you know, somebody says, why are you trying to do something stupid like that, right? You can tell them a story. You don't have to, you know, logic them to death. They say, so why are you trying to do this stupid thing? You're never going to succeed or whatever. And you just tell them a story. He says, well, when I was young, my goal wasn't just to try to stay alive until I die. So here's my goal, to try to do something. So I have a choice, and that's fine. But I just don't want to give up all hope and just wait to die. I just thought maybe try something else and maybe make my life a little bit better for me and my family. So that's why I'm doing it. That's my story, and that's it. And what's the other person going to say? No, you're a loser. Just give up and wait to die. I don't think so. So anyway, you can just create the stories for what you need.
That's good. That's good. I love that. When I was young, four words, and then just to give them another option in life, which is one of the greatest closing. I use that so much since you uttered those words in Greensboro, North Carolina. Just another option. Just another option. So, but I see how a story really opens that door for that. So when I was young, that's absolutely amazing. Yeah. So
I'll let you go and your teams go. But hey, come up with a great story. If you can't think of one, maybe ask Wayne. He might have a few thousand to choose from.
They know me. I have too many. I have to try to shut them down. BigAlBooks.com, is that the best place to go sign up?
Yeah, BigAlBooks.com. And there's, when you go there, there's something called free. Click on free, and you can download some audios on magic words and cool stuff. And I tell people, if you can't afford free, well, all right, this is not, you know, for you. And if you don't know how to click on free, you might want to choose other business options. How's that? But just go to BigAlBooks.com, click on free, and download some cool things to say.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Guys, all of you, again, I say this with utmost sincerity towards Tom, a big utmost respect. So bigalbooks.com, check it out. Get on the workshop. I'll be there with you, and we'll come to cool stories. And as always, thanks for jumping on board.
Thanks again for listening, and be sure to pick up your free resources to help build your coaching or consulting practice at howtosellyourcoaching.com.